Joining us here on the ESPN at the phone lines is MRN's Jeff Striegel. And Jeff, here we are, race week. You know, it feels like an eternity since we've been able to watch these guys and listen to you and your crew over there at MRN. And I'm going to hit you with a hard question first. Is this the right time for NASCAR to return? And do you feel like their plan right now is in a true position to work?
I think, Nick, that we probably need to answer that question in a month from now, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the short answer. Yes, I do think it is. And the reason that I can say that with confidence is the fact that I know what NASCAR is doing to make sure that everybody is safe and that we put on a quality program. They have gone to extraordinary lengths, including the fact that we won't have fans, including the fact that they are limiting the number of people on the property. Just to give you an example, I think there's 16 people that will represent each car. There is usually 16 people representing the sponsors on each car. None of those people will be allowed in. I think we're looking at probably a grand total of somewhere less than 1,500 total people on the property, and that includes race teams and security and NASCAR officials, et cetera. So I really think, Nick, that they've taken the right measures to take this first step. And, you know, obviously, like you, I will be pulling for nothing but the very best, because the eyes of the world really will be on us to see how this comes off.
Yeah, absolutely. We were just discussing before you came on the air, I had no idea that you weren't going to be able to be at this weekend's action down there at Darlington with you being in Michigan. But I'm kind of curious if you know how this is going to work for the other members of the media, including your MRN teammates. Have they told you what they're going to have to go through in terms of testing or socially distancing?
Yeah, I sure do. And I'm not going, Nick, because of the fact that I live in Michigan. And we being NASCAR, are not going to travel anybody from outside of the Charlotte area. Fortunately for us, we have a number of broadcasters that live in Charlotte.
Right.
And so we have a full team of people that will be going. But they will be tested upon arrival. They will be tested upon departure. They will be so they're going to get tested at minimum of twice. They are required to wear a face mask of some sort. Here's what makes this whole thing unique, Nick, is the fact that on Sunday morning, Darlington race day, everybody, and I'm talking about the truck drivers that haul the cars, the Denny Hamlin and Kevin Harvicks of the world, all the crew, all the media, they will get up on Sunday and they will drive the 2 hours, give or take, to get to Darlington. They will unload the race cars. They will put them on the racetrack. They will race them. They'll put them back in the box, the trucks, and they will go home. They are not supposed to carpool, ride with anybody. Our broadcasters will all be, even though they live in the same town, will be taking separate cars to get to and from the racetrack. NASCAR has even gone so far as to state exactly what time you will be allowed onto the property. So, you know, even our guys, and gals, they'll be given a specific time in which they'll be allowed on the property. They won't congregate. We won't meet. We'll get our equipment. We'll go to our turn position. The drivers and the teams will do the same, and they'll put on the show. It will be completely different. Even though we might not see it or hear it in the broadcast, it will be unlike anything they've ever done before.
Yeah, I'd believe it. MRN's Jeff Striegel joining us here on BTL. We're chatting about NASCAR's return this weekend at Darlington, Sunday at 2:30 on MRN and right here on ESPN Ithaca. How impressed are you that NASCAR has been able to figure out a game plan so quickly and basically being able to check all of the boxes to get these events up and running again with so many minor details, as you just kind of mentioned? Because to me, that's incredible, and frankly, those are some things that I feel like I never really would have thought about or taken into consideration.
Yeah, it's impressive, and I guess it's not surprising, and I'll tell you why, and that's just because of the people that I feel like I know that are a part of NASCAR, that are the people, you know, like Michael Prinup, the president of, you know, Watkins Glen, right there in your backyard. These are intelligent individuals that have the fan in mind first, and then when they decide, okay, you know what, maybe it's time to go, they will sit and they will think and they will map this out, you know, ad nauseum, you know, if you will, but they cannot afford to make a mistake. And so every single stone must be, you know, turned, if you will, in order to make sure that their competitors are safe, that the people that are there to put on the sport, you know, the broadcasters and the like, that they're safe. Because, I mean, let's face it, if for some reason we had to bring this to a stop because somebody, you know, was tested and they become COVID-19 positive, it's going to be a bad deal. I'm not to say that that's not possible. Obviously, it is possible. But, you know, one person is one thing. If we were to have a team or you know, more, then we've got a bigger issue on our hands. So I know that NASCAR has taken it very seriously. And I know this, Nick, that if they felt like they were not in a position to do it right, we would not be racing at Darlington this Sunday. So that being said, we're going to wish everybody the best and wish everybody to stay safe. You know, unfortunately, I got to play race fan this weekend, but I will. And I can't wait until they crank them up. It's going to be interesting.
One thing that I always appreciate about this sport is how fan-friendly it is. And I can't even imagine what it's going to be like for those people who are in Darlington for the race on Sunday. Because, let's face it, we watch or listen to these races, and in some ways we have zero focus on the fans in the crowd. But I feel like it's probably going to be a bit of a different environment for those people who are so used to hearing and seeing a crowd in the stands.
Yeah, it is. You know, I was thinking about it, too, that, you know, we get used to the fact that when Chase Elliott makes the pass on Denny Hamlin, we hear the crowd over the roar of the engines. And how cool is that? You know, we can all go back and remember the day that Dale Earnhardt Sr. passed Bill Elliott. And, you know, the crowd noise was, you know, 10 times louder, if you will, than the race car noise. Well, we're not going to have that. We're going to have race car noise. We're going to have empty seats. You know, the thing that I really like about NASCAR fans, Nick, and you and I have talked about this before off air, is how loyal they are, how passionate they are. I think their understanding of where we are at in this world at this moment and having, you know, 60,000 people cramming into Darlington is just not a good idea. It wouldn't be a good idea to do it at Watkins Glen or my home track at Michigan. It would just be a bad idea, and we can't afford to do it. So, I think we're going to get through this, and, you know, I don't know when we're going to see fans back at the racetrack, but we will at some point.
We're chatting with Jeff Striegel of MRN here on BTL, chatting about NASCAR's return this weekend at Darlington Sunday at 2:30 on MRN and on ESPN Ithaca. The last time these drivers in the NASCAR Cup Series sat in a real race car on a real track with real pit crews and everything like that was more than 2 months ago at Phoenix. Now a lot of these guys have been doing iRacing, and some guys I'm sure have been practicing virtually, but how is that going to translate into real life, if you will? Like, just how easy will it be for these guys to get back into the cars and race as if nothing has happened?
Well, I would imagine that Denny Hamlin would tell you that it's like riding a bike. You know, we haven't ridden a bike in years, and somebody rolls a two-wheeler up and we hop on, we, you know, ride down and get an ice cream cone. I think it's probably a little more difficult than that, and here's why. You got to have an awful lot of trust to be a race car driver. You've got to trust your crew. You've got to trust your car. And usually we get a chance to put the car out there and say, let's use Denny as the example. Denny, go ahead and let's run a few practice laps, and you tell us what you think of the car. Denny goes out there, and the car's bottoming out, and we see sparks flying, and the car's not very good, and he's on the radio going, okay, we missed this, we missed that, let's bring it back into the garage and work on it. Well, we don't have that luxury on Sunday. When Denny hauls it off into turn number one on lap number two, he'll be running 180 miles an hour. If we've missed anything, Denny's going to be the first one to know, and he's probably not going to be very comfortable, but they really are the best in the business. And you know, Denny, if the car isn't the way he wants it, he will ride it out. You know, the racing term will ride it out until we get an opportunity to get the car onto pit road and make some changes. I think that, Nick, is something that I'm really going to be focused on. They have not announced how they're going to line the cars up yet, so I don't know.
Right.
I don't know if they're going to line up inverted with the slowest car car with the least amount of points up front, or if we're going to line them up straight up, meaning the car that the team that's number one would be on the pole. I don't know. But I can tell you this, that we're going to see some cars at the front of the field fade quickly and some cars that are deep in the field come rocketing up through the pack. I think it's really going to be interesting to see what team can prepare a car on a simulator, a race simulator, back at the shop, and give the driver the best piece of equipment possible. You make a little mistake, and you're going to be able to see it big time watching or listening, because we're going to be talking about that individual who was running second, and now he's back to 10th, and now he's back to 12th. And I think it makes for an interesting situation when they drop the green flag.
You got that right. One guy who's had a lot of success at Darlington with, I think it's 5 top 10 finishes down there, is Kyle Larson. Well, obviously we won't be seeing him for the foreseeable future, but we'll see Matt Kenseth return on Sunday. And he's won at Darlington in the past. He has a pretty strong track record there, but this is a guy who hasn't raced in the Cup Series since November of 2018. You mentioned it's kind of like getting on a bike and riding one for the first time in a long time, but what are the realistic expectations for someone who hasn't sat in the driver's seat in as long of a time as he has?
I think what we'll see with Matt will be, by the way, the last time Darlington raced in May was 2013, and Matt was the guy who won that race. Right, that probably isn't going to carry over to 2020. I'm not going to run to Vegas and put money down on Matt. I think you're going to see him ride. You know, we still got the stages, stage one, stage two, then we run to the checkered flag. I wouldn't be surprised to see Matt just get in the car, try to get comfortable, try to stay on the lead lap during stage number one. Get a feel of the race car, get back in the seat, get that, you know, get that mojo going, get back in the groove, if you will. And if he has a good car, and I expect he will, the 42 car has always been a good car, and I would expect that Chip Ganassi is going to give Matt a very good car for Sunday. If Matt can work with a brand new team, he's never worked with anybody on this team, if he can relay what he is feeling in the seat of that race car back to his crew and allow them to make a few changes, I don't see any reason that we don't see Matt in the top 10. I mean, he's that good of a race car driver, and they are that good of a race team. If they can put it all together, I think we're all going to be going, man, oh, man, this guy will recognize just how much talent some of these individuals have, and Matt certainly is one of those drivers at the top of the list.
Yeah. MRN's Jeff Strugel joining us here on BTL. Darlington coming up on Sunday at 2:30 here on ESPN Ithaca and, of course, the Motor Racing Network. How great is it knowing that Ryan Newman is going to be making his return to the Cup Series after February's scary crash at Daytona?
Unbelievable.
Right.
You know, I talked to him when he was in Phoenix. He showed up and was wandering around. I had a chance to briefly talk to him. And he looked great then. You know, and that was back in March. I can only imagine now that he's stronger and even more, if you will, ready to go. He looked like he was ready to go when he was at Phoenix. Obviously, he was not. To see and to think, going back to what he went through, the fact that we're talking about Ryan in any other way other than bad is amazing to me. And I know it is to you, Nick. Yeah. You know, what he went through, what we all witnessed, you know, we thought, okay, we have just lost a race car driver, and this is not good. And, you know, it was funny because I didn't even realize until I read it, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago, that it was an article on Ryan. He spent 48 hours in the hospital. 2 days.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it's like, he did? You know, I thought he'd, you know, it's been a week or more in the hospital. But when you go back and you revisit the whole thing, it's like, man, he's upside down, on fire. They're cutting him out of the race car. The chance of survival is minimal. And then 48 hours, he's, you know, being shown with his girls on his hand as he's, you know, walking out of the hospital. Just amazing and a true tribute to, again, the people back in North Carolina that build these race cars.
Yeah, it's remarkable. Jeff, before I let you go, there was a lot of momentum with Team Penske, specifically that combo of Joey Logano and Paul Wolf, who took two of the season's first four races. Do you think that will continue despite this layoff?
Yeah, I do. I really do. I think that you know, they were good. You know, the crazy thing is that a lot of fans don't realize is, you know, when we talk about cars coming out of the shop, there's so much work that goes into them. They've been on simulators. They have a pretty good idea as to just how good that car is going to be. I expect nothing else from Team Penske. I don't expect anything else from Joe Gibbs or Rick Hendrick or some of these top organizations. They field good cars, and they know they've got a good car when they unload that thing, you know, out of the trailer. I expect that Joey is going to be a factor on Sunday. I think Brad Keselowski, his teammate, and Ryan Blaney will also. The last time we were at Darlington, Brad was winning on that day. That's actually not true. It was Eric Jones. But be that as it may, I do think that Joey and Team Penske are going to pick right up where they left off.
Jeff, I really appreciate the time. Glad to hear that you're doing well, and enjoy being a fan for once this weekend, and hopefully we'll be able to hear you very, very soon here on MRN, okay?
Yeah, I appreciate that. And to all of you in the great state of New York, stay safe. I can't wait to get to your state and to Watkins Glen, and we'll do that soon. And, Nick, anytime. I appreciate it.